Jeremiah 9. So what a great book this has been already, not from a necessarily a get pumped up point of view, but from a God loves his children so much that he just continues to cry out and plead with them to come home. And that's the merciful God that we serve. Tonight we see in chapter 9, beginning in verse 23, God says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." So glory in this is our message tonight. Let's pray. Lord, ask for your wisdom, for your power, for your presence as we look into your precious word tonight. We love you so much. And we thank you. May your will be done now in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we've seen, the root cause of their problem was pride. Pride leads us away from God every time. Pride was the original sin that caused Satan to fall from heaven, and it ultimately leads to this wrong attitude about our own selves. And as God is saying to Israel and to us, we need to be careful. There's never a place for us to glory in anything but God. And this is so important for us to remember, especially if we've been saved a while. The devil's really good at creeping in there and saying, you know, you've been saved a while. You're a pretty good Christian. Look at all you've done for God. And those are just dangerous thoughts. So he lists these three things here in verse 23 that we're not to glory in. Wisdom, might, and riches. Three of the things that man tries to pursue here on earth. So first is this pursuit of wisdom. And as we know, when this was written, we didn't have the internet, but we do now. And it's all about getting information, isn't it, now? Getting information. God says we shouldn't glory in that. We cannot glory in our own wisdom, our own knowledge. We can only glory as it tells us here in the Lord. As a matter of fact, we're told in Romans chapter 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And so as long as we think that we have the answers, we are fools. That's what God says. Because the answers are found in God's Word. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, as we talk about this not glorying in the wisdom, which is the first thing that God tells us not to glory in. And God here contrasts man's versus God's wisdom. Notice verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 1. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Look what he says there. God made foolish the wisdom of the world. Isn't that something? And yet through God's wisdom, it's through the foolishness of preaching, and he's using that to get the point across, that people get saved. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 that the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. So the first thing that we're warned about is wisdom. You know, the answer is to just keep pleading ignorance. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We always lack wisdom. We never have enough. So as long as we keep saying to the Lord we don't have the answers, that's a good place to be. The second thing mentioned in Jeremiah 9:23 is might or power. Now, the world strives for this, but in the end, we don't really have any power, do we? We're just one heartbeat away from death. And who's in control of that? God. So we don't really have any power, and yet man has this issue. Go to Daniel 4, and we'll see an example, which is Nebuchadnezzar. And most of you know the story here in Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar, God really blessed him at one point. His kingdom was one of the greatest kingdoms on earth, the kingdom of Babylon. As a matter of fact, they say that one of the seven wonders of the world was one of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon prior to its destruction. Now notice Daniel 4, verse 30. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom of the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Why? Look what he said in verse 30. I have built by the might of my power. God's saying, you didn't do it, I did it. And everything that we have is from God. Every ability that we have, every gift that we have, the very breath that we breathe is from God. And so outside of God, we have no might. And we must always remember that. God tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:7, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? In other words, if everything that we have we've received, where do we have a place to ever glory in it? Because it's all a gift. God gave it all to us. We might be good at singing, we might be good at piano playing, we might be good at running, we might be good at certain types of jobs. Where do we get that ability? From God. So we can't glory in wisdom, we can't glory in might, and then lastly, in verse 23 of our passage, we can't glory in riches. And this is probably the number one thing the world strives for, is money. Money and stuff. And we must be ever so careful. Go back, if you would, to Deuteronomy 8, where God warned Israel about this attitude that ended up causing them a lot of heartache. And notice what he says. Verse 13, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. So God here is prophesying. Because all this happened, right? Especially under David and Solomon. When God's really blessed you materially with money and things, then thine heart be lifted up. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. So this is a vicious cycle, isn't it? And because we're so weak in the flesh, if God blesses us materially, then it goes to our head or goes to our heart, and we glory in that. So then God has to take it away. Or, why is it that most Christians are not wealthy? Because we can't handle it. Because this is what will happen. That's why it's such a rare thing. Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. Because God knows our hearts, and he knows how weak we are, and he knows our tendency to glory in riches if God gives them to us. And so, you know, God even gave special warnings in 1 Timothy to the rich. He said, charge them that are rich that they be not high-minded or trust in their riches, but in God. And what did he say to the disciples? It's easier for what? A camel to go through the eye of a needle than what? For a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why would that be? Because rich people tend to trust in their riches. So, we can't glory in our wisdom. We can't glory in our might. And we can't glory in our riches. Notice verse 24 of our passage, Jeremiah 9. But let him that glorieth glory in this. God says there's only one thing that you can glory in. And that has to do with him, with God himself. We looked in Isaiah 42, if you go back there, when we preached to Isaiah, and God made a very interesting statement about glory in general. And look what he said here in Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. When it comes to glory, God is a jealous God, but in a righteous sense. And he refers to himself as a jealous God many times in the Pentateuch. what he's saying here, he will not share his glory. Because he deserves it all. And whenever we try to take some on ourselves, we're just asking for trouble. It's all due to the Lord. You know, when we get to 1 Corinthians, we're told, we're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If ever we try to take glory for ourselves, we're just asking for trouble. We saw the example of Nebuchadnezzar. We have a New Testament example in Herod. I don't know if you remember the story, but in Acts chapter 12, Herod was in a big stadium and all the people were there and things were going well for the kingdom. And people shouted, "It is a God and not man." And rather than correct them, Herod went, "Oh, that feels good." And the Bible says God immediately killed him right on the spot. For what? Taking glory. Our attitude needs to be the attitude of the Apostle Paul. Go to Galatians chapter 6 and we'll see it in regards to glory. So don't glory in wisdom, don't glory in might, don't glory in riches. We can only glory in the Lord. Galatians 6:14, notice what Paul says. God forbid that I should glory, so there's that word again, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. We don't have any glory. We're told in 1 Peter, the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth away. We're just a little, you know, you've heard people talk about just a drop in the bucket. That's all we are. We have no place to glory in anything. But as we go back to our passage, but you understand and know God. Understand and know God. That's what we should glory in. That's what Paul said. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you understand and that you know the Lord. So do we understand the Lord? That's the only thing we can glory in, that we know the one who's worthy of all glory. Because God is righteous in all of his ways. Jesus says, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. But do we really know what does God want? He says that you understand me. Do we understand what God wants of us? He tells us to love him with all of our heart, to seek first the kingdom of God, to confess our sins, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to forgive, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's just a tiny little sampling. Do we understand those things? God says, that's what I want you to glory in, that you know this, that you know my word, and that you know me. Notice he goes on to say in verse 24, that you understand and know me. Do we know God? Go to Colossians 1 and we'll see where God wants us just to keep increasing in our knowledge of him. Now, of course, if we don't know God personally, then we're not going to heaven. We read about Jesus Christ in Matthew 7 saying, people, I prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, I did wonderful works in your name. He'll say, I never knew you. We don't want that. But if you do know the Lord, God says, that's what I want, that you understand me and that you know me. Notice Colossians 1:10, that you might be worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in what? The knowledge of God. Not the knowledge of man, not the knowledge of the world, the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. He says, he finishes there in Jeremiah 9:24, that I am the Lord. All caps, Jehovah. A Jehovah who is loving, who is just, and who is righteous, as we see there in verse 24. He is our creator, he's our sustainer, he's our judge, he's our king, he's our redeemer, he's holy, he's just, he's true, he's faithful. God says, glory in that. Glory in me. Glory in my person. Glory in who I am and the character that I have, not anything related to your own selves or to man and to man's ways. Because he is the only one worthy of any glory. He's the only one that's holy. If you would look at Isaiah 26, again, a verse that we looked at recently, a verse that you might want to add to your memory verse list. Most of you probably know verse 3, but do you know verse 4? Verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." But look at the next verse. "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." The Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I am the Jehovah. That is everything. So, what a shame that Israel had gotten so much pride that they had wandered, as we've seen, they backslid. It was all about them and their works and worshiping false gods, and it was all about man. And God had to say, you can't glory in anything of your own. You can't glory in your wisdom or your might or your riches. I want you to glory in knowing me, knowing the kind of God that I am, knowing, as he says here, that I'm loving, that I'm just, and that I'm righteous. Do we really know God? And if the answer to that question is, I know him, but I don't know him as I should. And we would all say that. So what does God want? Just keep getting to know God better. Just keep increasing, as we saw in Colossians 1, just keep increasing in knowledge of God. And God will give us that knowledge. As long as we keep acknowledging we don't have it, Lord, I don't have wisdom, I need more. Lord, I don't have any might, I'm just a wicked sinner, saved by grace. That needs to be our attitude. And Lord, everything that I have, you've given me. Any riches, any possessions I have came from God. As long as that's our attitude, we're in the right place. David had that attitude when he took that collection for the temple, which Solomon built. He said, Lord, who am I? And what are my people that we're able to give after this sort? He says, all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. They're in 1 Chronicles 29. That always must be our attitude. God is worthy of all the glory, and we are worthy of none. Glory in this, that you understand and know me, saith the Lord.